It's Sports Talk with Dan Rennie and Elijah Blair. Catch the boys for a unique insight and extensive breakdown of this year's NRL season on 98.9 FM. Yeah. Take it away, boys.
We will take it away. And it's good to have your company on this Friday night for Sports Talk. We're back after a little bit of a break last week, of course. CMC Rocks was the event we were at. And Elijah, I'll welcome you, brother. G'day, Elijah, brother. Blair.
Mate, you were here.
Right in the thick of it last Friday, weren't you?
What was I doing last week?
We were at CMC Rocks.
That we were. Yeah. That we were, man. It was scary, but
it was.
A good experience. It's a shame it got washed out the way it did.
Mm.
You know, I just want to say thanks to everyone that came out and saw us at the van, and
lots of fans.
Yeah, gave us a hug, some sweaty cold hugs, but they were totally worth it. Brother, just quickly, I want to mention that intro. I'm loving it.
It sounds good. It's
a banger.
Yeah, gets you going for the show ahead, and we got a big one coming your way. Of course, we'll recap the round last week, and of course, look forward to this week's games that kicked off in fine fashion last night with the Rabbitohs off to a perfect start. Glory, glory! You'll be feeling pretty happy with yourself.
Oh, glory, glory, indeed, mate. And just looking at our run. Obviously, now we're 2-2. The next couple of rounds look like this. We take on the Titans next week.
That's
after
a win.
After that, we got Manly.
That's a win.
And then we got the Dogs. So we're looking pretty good for the start of the season.
I think 5-0 for the Bunnies.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. And you got to think, what's the master coach doing down there in Redfern? What do you think he's bringing to the table?
I don't know, but whatever it is, I wish he had done it at the Broncos. He does have a great roster. When you look across that park, there are some tremendous players, and none more so than the veteran Sam Burgess, who stood up last night. We were just talking off air, and you know, we thought that was going to be a pretty close tussle, you know, and it was for the first half, but in the second half there, they opened up. Damien Cook was outstanding, as was Braden Burns, the left centre.
They're all fantastic. Sammy Burgess, though, I think he's lost his kicking licence. I think that'll be the last kick he'll make in 2019.
It was a pretty funny old, I think he's who was it that was calling for the ball on the outside?
No, I have no idea, but they were pushing up,
and I think he pointed to the, pointed to the end goal, and Sammy had a bit of a brain fart, and that happens when you sort of up a bit like that, and you've had a game like Sam Burgess, the thing. You can do it all, but
that's it.
Yeah, no, the kicking license will be revoked, no doubt about it. We'll talk more about the Rabbitohs in just a moment, but some other big news out of today. Paul Gallen has announced he will retire at the end of the year. The Cronulla coach has revealed he will definitely call it quits at the end of the 2019 season. It's been a bit of a weird career for Paul Gallen. I think you'll agree. There's been a lot of. A lot of things off the field that he's been involved with, some racism stuff, not to mention the peptide scandal and this year as well, where their salary cap rorts, and looking back over their premiership winning season, he actually came out and said, if we got our premierships taken off us, I would throw my ring away. I would quit the club immediately. It wouldn't sit well with me. I would quit rugby league altogether, he said on the Sports Sunday show nearly 2 weeks ago. This is what frustrates me with situations like this and situations we've gone through at the club. We've been let down by the administration once again, but who cops it? The players. Who's sitting here answering questions today? Me, the captain of the club, who is now going to play with an inferior team for the next 2 years? The players, while the administrators get to move on. End quote.
He's outspoken.
He is outspoken. And, what do you think of Paul Gallen's career when you look back over it?
Look, he's a player that you love to hate, but when he's playing for you, he's a good player. Like when he played for Australia, he was great. I loved to back him.
For the Blues, if you're New South Wales.
Exactly, for the Blues. Look, he's a tough old rooster. I think he gets the job done. As I said, he's outspoken.
What about the off-field stuff? Will that tank
you'd have to think that in some way, shape or form he knew about what was going on at the club at the time with the peptide scandal that was happening.
Someone sticking a needle in your arm, you're going, hey, what's going on here?
I mean, while I understand that players are on a lot of multivitamins and they're taking things that the club doctor prescribes them, and they're not really, sometimes they don't think about what's going into their body, but you'd have to think he knew what was happening.
Mm-hmm. As a captain of the club,
as a captain of the club, absolutely.
You'd like to think so. Well, anyway, Paul Gallen, yes, polarising, no doubt about it, but, a great football player and a bit of a character in the works as well. I'll sort of look back at him as probably not in the fondest light, especially with the racism controversy that surrounded his career. I'm staunch.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
You don't reckon?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, because I do. I know they don't take into account the off-field stuff, but you know, for me, Joe Johns wouldn't be there either for mine. But back to the Rabbitohs, 34-18 victors, a late try to the St. George Dragons there, and they're 0-2 now. And you know, got to be thinking that Mary McGregor, his little experiment's not working. Of course, getting beaten by the Cowboys and now the Rabbitohs, who are both very strong sides.
Matt Duffy needs to be in the starting side. None of this injection 20 minutes ago when the game's dead and buried. Like, he come on and added a bit of spark to the left hand side. And I can't help but think why they're playing Gareth at the back and they're putting. They've got Corey Norman and Benny Hunt.
It's a very strange ploy, and it isn't working. So, you know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expect to get a different result, you know, you're what do they call you?
It's a definition of insanity.
Insanity, and it is. You know, I know they're all fantastic players, but you've got too many people calling the shots, and it's confusing the players, especially when you know four or five people have to move around to accommodate the injection of Matt Duffy. It's a strange one, but it's not working. So they need to try something else, St. George, because on paper they've got
just quickly team. If I can St. George are off to a bad start. Maybe that's a good thing for them, because every other year they've come out of the gates flying.
Could be, maybe Mary's going, look, let's just win lose the first half of the season and come home strong.
Yep.
Alrighty, last weekend got off with of course the big one, the Broncos and the Storm. The Storm looked absolutely terrific. You know, they don't look like they've lost a step. I predicted that they'd suffer a little bit without Billy Slater, but Jerome Hughes at the back there, he looks like he's a match winner.
Did they go really well though? Because I think if you look at the run of things, and I think that penalty Matt Lodge, Cameron Munster. When that penalty was given, it was all pretty much downhill from there. If the Broncos get the ball back and they continue on with the ball, I think they won about 7-8 minutes without the ball.
They did
opening minutes. So I think if that opening was slightly different. I think the Broncos are in there with a chance, but the Storm are terrific front runners. It's very hard to run them down, and they let a couple of tries in. I didn't think there was any chance on coming back.
Yeah, no, the Broncos held on pretty gallantly. I think you'll agree the defence was there, but just very little spark in attack. You know, there was the two tries from Corey Oates. One was an intercept, and the other one was just a power play. So look, you know, there's not great signs there for the halves and at the Brisbane Broncos.
I was going to say, a lot's been said about the half combination, Milford Nikarima. What have you made of it? They both play the same style of footy, very ad-libbed.
What I'd like to see is Milford go to fullback, take the responsibility of having to. He's just it's one of those eyes up football players. You know, if you take the responsibility away from him, let him create for himself. I'd move Darius Boyd into 5/8, and you know he can ball play, has shown that in the past. So I'd put Boyd at 6 and Milford back to 1. But that's just me as a Broncos fan. I don't know about you.
No, I got no opinion. No.
Excuse
opinion.
Me. Some other results from the weekend. The Knights got off to a great start, beating the Sharks in a pretty defensive game. As we mentioned, the Rabbitohs took care of the Roosters pretty comfortably. The Warriors very comfortably winners over the Bulldogs, 40-6. The West Tigers got up against the Seagulls, who looked pretty hapless in that game. Cowboys took care of the Dragons, as we touched on at the top. The Panthers and the Eels, the Battle of the West. The Eels got the chocolates in that one.
That was frustrating.
It was a bludger, that game.
Yeah.
Yep. And the Raiders, 21 victors over the Titans. It's a pretty torrid conditions up on the Gold Coast. And it's been a pretty quiet week news-wise, which is a good thing, I think you'll feel, after the off-season that we had.
It's been like 2 weeks, no scandals. That's good.
It's a record for the last few months, so it is good to see. And, of course, the Storm taking on the Raiders as we speak, but the game that everyone looks forward to every year, no doubt about it. They're the it's been one of those games that people pencil in and say, this is going to be a blockbuster. The Derby, Broncos taking on the Cowboys at Suncorp Stadium tonight in less than an hour. How do you feel this one's going to play out, brother?
Man, it's going to be a close one. I'm leaning towards the Bronx just because of the home advantage. They seem to go well at Suncorp against the Cowboys.
Do you have the same concerns about the Broncos halves that many do? I mean, you look at Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker for the Bunnies, and they just, you know, they both know their roles. They both play them to perfection. They execute. I don't see that for Brisbane.
Well, that's what I mean. Adam Reynolds is a specialist halfback, and that's what I don't think the Broncos have. As I said before, Nikarima and Milford both love to play that ad-lib style of footy. They both love taking on the line. No one's really standing out as a 5'8 or a halfback for me, and maybe they need to remedy that very soon, or have Cody take on a more specialist type role.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, I'm leaning towards the Broncos. I think they'll be a little bit too strong for the Cows at home. Watch for Taumalolo to run a few hundred metres, but, you know, Siebes, I'm sure they've got a plan to keep him at bay. I think they're going to make him make about 50 tackles.
I love Taumalolo. I love him. He's in my super coach team. I just hate him when he's playing the Broncos. He's devastating, and he's only getting better, which is a scary thought. 25 years of age, he started when he was just 17 years of age, and he's been described by many as potentially the best forward to ever play the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Where are you leaning towards?
I'm leaning towards the Broncos. I think, you know, that it would have been a hard week at training this week. I think, you know, they would have got... would have done a lot of video on that game that the Cowboys played against the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and I think they'll be primed for a big one, the first home game of the year, and of course the derby. It always, you know, it always delivers, and I think tonight it will be another one-pointer, another exhilarating finish to the game. Miss Maguire, of course, Josh went to the Cowboys in the off-season along with Jordan Kahu from the Broncos, so, you know, I think they'll have a bit of a point to prove. I think Maguire got the news when he was on holidays that he wouldn't be required, which is, you know...
Really?
I think that's a pretty low blow for a bloke who's given a lot for Brisbane over the years. And I think Kahu saw the writing on the wall, you know, when you look at the back line for the Broncos, there wasn't much room.
It'd be tough go getting a fullback.
It'd be tough getting a go at fullback, even on the wing, when you look at the Broncos' stock. So I think he knew the writing was on the wall. And after the departure of Ben Barber from the Cowboys... there was an opening there, you know, he probably made the best decision for his career. Didn't look all that exciting against St. George Illawarra, and I think he'll be looking for a big game tonight. But yeah,
what are we saying points wise?
Oh, look, I think it'll be another nail biter. I'm going the Broncos 19-18.
Yeah, I'll say 22-20 in Golden Point.
I love it. Mm. All right. Well, let's look at the other games of the round. I'll just bring it up there. I lost my spot, and I'm losing my voice a little bit here, brother, too.
You're in the wars at the moment, aren't you?
I am. But no, she's all good. Super Saturday kicks off. Sharks against the Titans. I've got a feeling this one's going to be another bludger.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I, you know, for me... Give the wooden spoon to the Titans or the Bulldogs right now. You know, it's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a given that these two clubs are not looking so great. I know it's only round one, but my goodness, just ordinary football.
These are two teams that I don't get excited about seeing. I don't get excited about them playing my team. I'm just not a big Titans or Sharkies fan. I'm trying to find it hard to tip you. I'm going to go to the Sharks just based on.
I'm going to go with Sharks because they're favourites and the Titans were horrid. Knights, a team we can be excited about. And I think you say the same for the Panthers as well. You know, they've had a pretty terrible off-season, the Panthers, but I'm sure they want to let the football do the talking. A few key injuries. They still are without Viliami Kikau, who was probably their best player last year. But they've got the origin halves in Maloney and Cleary. You'd have to think that they were disappointed to lose that game to the Eels. So
especially
at home. So this will be a close one, I feel. The Caelan Ponga experiment, having him at number six, how long do you think they'll persist with that before putting him...
I think they'll continue on with it forever, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, they've drawn comparisons to Darren Lockyer. Well, I think it's early to do that. I think he looks good in the front line.
He doesn't have the kicking game of Darren Lockyer, though. That's one thing he probably doesn't possess.
You probably develop it. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these young players, I think that's what we do as this next generation. We sort of look for the kick. I think it's like one of the first options as opposed to the pass or, you know, running with the ball.
Yeah.
I did like him at fullback. I think when you put him in 5'8", I wonder if you're giving him too much to do on the field and sort of tiring him out. But Connor Watson looks good at the back, and he can chime in as an extra half if they need him. I like the experiment. I think they should persist with it. I'm going to go the Knights in a close one.
Yeah, I'm tipping the Knights as well. As much as, you know, the Panthers, I feel, need to win this game, I think the Knights are just, they've got such a great team across the park. You know, David Clemmer was giving them that good go forward. Mitchell Pearce standing up as well. And at home, I think they'll have a big one.
And you mentioned David Clemmer there. What have you made of his move up to Newcastle?
Yeah, I thought it was a strange one. You know, for the Bulldogs to let him go, he was, you know, their main go forward last year, and they didn't really get anyone to fill the void. Dylan Nappers, you know, he's not really a like for like player. He doesn't play big minutes like Clem, and he doesn't really get that yardage. So,
and Dylan's more of a defensive player as opposed to a wrecking ball.
Exactly right. Yeah, so I thought it was a weird one, but great for the Knights. The Seagulls, without Trbojevic still, Tom at the back, take on the Roosters, and they looked very ordinary last week, both sides.
Yeah, the woes are going to continue this week for the Seagulls. I think the Roosters will get up. The Roosters will get up. Very disappointing last week. I think they could have come away winners. I think most people expected them to beat the Bunnies, but I think this week they'll try and get back to some winning form, and I'm going to go a big one here, 38 points to 12.
Yeah, I think they'll put a cricket score on. Very rare that the Roosters have back-to-back losses or back-to-back ordinary games, and yeah, I think they would have had a hard week at the training paddock. So yeah, I'm definitely tipping the Roosters, and I think Latrell is in for a big one, a hat-trick of tries. Look out for that. The Dogs, Eels big winners. They were, they were riding cloud nine after that one, and the Bulldogs just getting absolutely pumped over there. But the punters seem to think it's going to be a close one. I don't. The Bulldogs have made no changes to their team from last week, and we spoke about that at the top. It's the definition of insanity. Do the same thing and expect a different result. So yeah, unless the Bulldogs can really turn it around somehow, I think the Eels will get up here.
Do you think the Eels got lucky last week and a few things just went their way and it was just their day on the footy field?
Yeah, they did get lucky. A couple of penalties without possession. You know, there was a bit of a brain snap from Wanga Blake that had handed the ball to them in good field. But, you know, you make your own luck on the footy field, and they capitalised, and I think they'll use that momentum to keep going against the Bulldogs here who looked poor.
Yep. Dylan Brown, what have you made of him? 5'8" for the Eels. He's a young dude. I think he's only 19, 20.
I like him a lot. Signs are promising for the Eels, who, you know, have struggled with a halfback for many, many years. You know, they say going back to when Sterling retired, they haven't really had an out-and-out game manager, game winner. Dylan Brown could be the one for the Eels, and he didn't look out of place out there. He looked like he'd been playing for a long time.
Yeah, no, too right. It's Kieran Foran, Lachlan Lewis taking on Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses.
And Moses, I've got to give him a rap as well. You know, I'm fairly critical of Moses, but I think he definitely stood up and took charge of that game. Clint Gutherson as well looked pretty electrifying for the Eels. All right, the West Tigers got off to a great start last week in that win, and of course the Warriors. So both winners from round one taking on each other at Campbelltown Stadium. This will be a good one. Robbie Farah looked...
Turning back the clock.
Oh my God, what has he been doing in the off-season? But he looked sharp.
Yeah, he looked good, and so did Benji. And they both looked really good in that game last week.
Can you believe that it's been since 2005 when they won the grand final?
Is that long, really?
2005.
Wow.
So we're talking 14 years ago.
And Benji and Robbie were there.
Well, they were there.
Gee whiz!
So that's a testament to, I don't know, the testament to the players or testament to the clubs who, you know, these guys are still around, still playing good football.
And they're not playing reserves, they're playing key positions, like 5'8" and dummy half. So they've still got it.
All right. Which way do you see this one heading, my brother?
Just for the hometown advantage, I'm going the West Tigers. I think they'll take some momentum from last week and get the win in a close one.
Yeah, I really like the look of the West Tigers. Although the Warriors, their young half in Kieran, he looked incredible. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck was on fire as well, and Solomon Akata with a couple of tries for the New Zealand Warriors. It'll be a close one, there's no doubt about it. Sunday Arvo at Campbelltown is going to be a cracker. I'm really, I think this will be up there with the game of the round.
All right.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think it'll be a close one, but I think the West Tigers will edge it out in a thriller. All right, well, that's the round. Any other news we've got to look forward to? I mean, you know, we spoke a little bit about the off-field stuff and the Dragons worries with DeBellin and his upcoming court case. Tyson Frizzell injured in that freak accident last week. You know, their forward stocks are in all sorts of trouble for the St. George Illawarra Dragons.
Yeah, but the depth has been tested early, for sure.
What did you make of that injury to Frizzell?
Oh, man, you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy.
No.
I mean, it's a it's a terrible sort of thing that you got to deal with. And
it didn't look that bad when I was sort of watching it, but you know, he knew instantly that something was pretty bad. And I think, you know, do we look at protecting our players down there a little bit more, like a box that they use in cricket?
I don't know how you do that, because yeah. I can see it becoming more constrictive. And
I don't think we
just got to, you know, exercise a bit of caution around that. It's a freak accident, as we said, and he'll recover.
How'd you be there?
A little bit sore.
Yeah.
Very sore.
I hope his recovery goes well for Tyson Frizzell. And, you know, we look forward to the NRLW as well. That's going to be coming up real soon, and we've got a lot to look forward to there when the women get underway. It was a little taster last year. We're going to get a bit more of it this year, but your thoughts on the women's game?
Yeah, excited, man. I think the Bronx can go back-to-back.
Yes.
This year, I think they'll have a cracking team.
At least we'll have some team up in the finals.
I think the Dragons as well will be able to challenge this year. It's going to be exciting.
The Roosters as well.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we'll look forward to speaking with plenty of the DC ambassadors as we kick through the year as well. Talisha Harden, also Amber Pillian, and a few of the other girls that are kicking around.
Man, I'll just bring it up. We got to do our top 8, top 4, and top 2. I think we got to do it nice and early, because maybe not right now. Maybe we should go away and think about it and have them written down, then put them away. See who gets the closest.
Lock them in. All right. Well, I like it. Geez, there's a lot of teams that could make it this year, and I don't know. Yeah, it's going to be. I think this will be one of the closest top 8s in a long, long time. When you think about the Knights and teams like that who didn't make it last year, who probably should this year. It's exciting to think about. You know, if the West Tigers can get on a tear, they could be there as well. They only just missed out, along with Canberra, who only just missed out last year. So plenty of jostling, I'm sure, for a top 8 position as we head into September. Well, that's us done for another week here on Sports Talk. Elijah Blair, thank you so much, brother.
Not a problem.
And we'll catch you next week here on Sports Talk. Have a great weekend, and up the Broncos.
You've been tuned to Sports Talk with Dan Rennie and Elijah Blair on 98.9 FM. Don't forget, you can download the 98.9 FM app at the App Store and stream Sports Talk Friday nights from 6 p.m. Yeah.